Okay, so we'd like to open our Bibles. Could we open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4? Hallelujah for Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to cover this matter of perfecting. Now the outline, the title of the outline for this morning's sharing is the students. The students. It's not the serving ones. It's the students being involved in the work of perfecting to multiply themselves on the campuses. Multiply themselves. Amen. So, we're covering the matter of the students. I hope you've been picking up a lot of the sharing related to twos and threes, related to companionizing, having a burden for people. Remember that started out with having a goal. Our brother shared about a goal. You have to have a goal. And if you have a goal, out of having a goal, there'll be a plan that comes with a burden. Right? First you have to have a goal. So all these points, we hope this would really be something you can practice in the laboratory when you get back, right? Because the training is really when you get home. Right? This is, you could say, the pre-training. The real training begins when you get back to your respective localities and begin to endeavor to practice all these things. So the students being involved in the work of perfecting to multiply themselves. So with that view, I just want to share a little bit of where this is coming from. And it comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. So, how about we have the brothers read verse 7 and the sisters verse 8. Each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And gave gifts to men. Amen. He gave gifts. So each one of us. Each one of us. How about everyone say, each one of us.
Each one of us.
Grace was given.
Grace was given.
And this is according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And in verse 8, it says, He gave gifts to men. Now everyone say, I am a gift.
I am a gift.
I am a gift. You are a gift because in resurrection, the resurrected Christ dispensed Himself as grace into you. And this grace produces your ability to function as a gift. Not because you're anything special, but because the resurrected Christ lives in your spirit and you have a little power. Right? Okay, how about brothers on 11, sisters 12? Gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers. Unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And then brothers 13, sisters 14.
Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith, and at the full knowledge of the Son of God, and at the full knowledge of man, at the measure of the stature of
How about we just stop there, just for the sake of time, and I'll just read 16. Out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, each one of you, each one part, from the freshmen to the seniors to the grad students to the serving ones, each one part causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Amen. So let's go back to verse 12. You know, you have to see the order here. The order. Don't we want the body to be built up?
Amen.
Don't we want the Lord's testimony on the earth to be bright and shining?
Amen.
Intensely living and intensely shining?
Amen.
That's why we're here. Right? To be Philadelphia.
Amen.
To bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Okay. How do we achieve this? Where is the building up? You know, our brother shared yesterday, the building up is through prophesying. To build up the body of Christ by dispensing the riches of Christ into all the members that there could be a bright, shining testimony. But in order for there, listen, to be the building up of the body of Christ, you need the work of the ministry. I'm working backward here. The work of the ministry. And for the work of the ministry, you need people. You need bodies. You need the saints. But in order for those saints to do the work of the ministry, they need perfecting. Right? We're not perfect. It's perfecting. For example, on your outline, if you look at point E, in the bottom there, the second under Roman numeral 2, There's a mistake on this outline. It should be lowercase ones. You could lowercase that O, put a slash through it. It's not capital. Because we're not perfect. We need lots of perfecting. That's just an illustration. So, we need to be perfected. And saints, this is not just in the spiritual things. We'll see. I hope it comes out in the sharing. We need to be perfected in our function, in the very practical matters. So we all want to be endeavoring to be perfected. And not just be perfected, but actually being perfected means you are perfecting others to do what you do. Right? So I hope this could really come out through our sharing and through the testimonies. Okay, so let's enter into this a little bit. Okay, the students. The students have A, having the burden to reproduce themselves before graduation. Do you have this view? The burden to reproduce yourself before graduation. You know, actually, this should be something normal in our being. Right? We would have this view to perfect ourselves, to reproduce ourselves. That when we leave, we wouldn't leave a gaping hole on our campus where we are. What if in your respective localities, all the older ones, let's say all the elders, they all migrated to Spain? What would happen? Now you just think, what if they weren't laboring on some younger ones to rise up, to take over the different functions of the deacons, just the practical service in the church, the ushering of the bread, the ushering to the meeting, right? I mean, just the offering box. Right? I mean, if they're not raising up the next generation, raising up younger ones to fulfill their function, how can the church go on if some leave? If you leave your campuses, but you didn't raise up the next generation, the younger ones, what's going to happen on the campus? They'll just be constantly starting over. So I need to illustrate this with some brothers. So how about we have Joseph? Kenneth, could you brothers come up here? And I'm going to need you too, David. And you too, David. Okay, but not yet. Sorry, but okay, so here are these two brothers. These two brothers are faithful serving ones. They're serving on the campus at USC. And they just really love the Lord and they're laboring. Now, our view of serving, and this I confess, this is where we used to be, and we're endeavoring to get out of this, but it was, you know, the campus is a dreadful place. The speaking that's going on the classrooms is against God's economy, and it is. It's against the church, and we need to do everything we can to protect the sheep. We got to protect them. So here's David. Here's David. Actually, sorry, brother. I need this David. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm coming to you. Okay, here's David. Here's a young freshman. He's stepping onto USC, and you brothers crowd around him. Protect him. Protect him, right? We got to survive. We got to survive this place and minister life to him. And, oh, Lord, amen. Dispense. Oh, Lord, yeah, exercise your spirit, brother. But stay away from everything. Just, you know, you need to stick with us. And, right, this survive. We got to survive. Right? Okay, now, praise the Lord, we're getting brought out of this view. Actually, we're not defensive Christians. Amen. We have a treasure in our earthen vessel.
Amen.
We want to shine this out to all the students. Amen. So there could be a testimony. How much testimony is there when we're hiding, right? Not much testimony. But when we're actually, now the serving ones, praise the Lord, these brothers, they're a couple years go by and they realize, you know, we just need to minister life. So our brother would thrive. He would be supplied to minister life. And just to be, eventually, you know what? That he would just have a love for the Lord, a love for the Word.
Amen.
And just growing in life. So now these brothers, they have appointments, right? They go out on the gospel with him. They fellowship with him. They get him to start praying. Comes to the prayer meeting. He goes to goes on the spring break trips.
Amen.
Even the short-term training.
Amen.
And so you just graduated college, right, brother?
Yeah.
Where are you going, David?
Training.
He's going to the full-time training.
Amen.
These brothers are so excited. Yeah. Hallelujah. This brother's going to open himself to new vistas of God's economy. Change his life forever. Okay, now let's say you go to the training, right? Praise the Lord. You're off to the training. Hallelujah. And now here's the two serving ones. We did it.
Amen.
Okay, back to square one.
Oh, Lord.
Let's get another young brother, and let's, you know, get him to really enjoy the Lord and thrive, right? Is that really where we should be?
No.
Okay, actually, you know what? This is what we're learning. We realize, okay, David, come back up here. Here's this brother. Don't you have friends? right? Yeah. You have friends, right? You have ones that you're burdened for.
Amen.
And actually, you realize you want to reproduce yourself on the campus.
Amen.
You don't want to just thrive. It's not enough to thrive.
That's right.
Actually, you want to multiply.
Amen.
And so you have your friend David here, right? And so here's David, and you meet him, you know, you're together, you play basketball together, you're enjoying one another's company, and you're just thriving, you're loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord,
Amen.
And he can't help but be attracted, right?
Amen.
You just can't help but be attracted by this brother, just something about him. You know, you're a Christian, but you just don't have much life, and this brother's just overflowing, and so you got to meet this brother, and then as you're enjoying the Lord, you invite him to your home meeting, and then you know what, you invite him to meet these brothers. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and then David, you know, David's got some friends. He's got Abraham and Caleb. How about you brothers come up? These brothers are in his physics class. And he's starting to share the Bible studies and the book of Romans and about God's full salvation, much more.
Amen.
He's saved in his life. And then they all go to his home meeting, his home gathering. And then Abraham meets Kenneth. And he's like, I want to get to know more about God's full salvation. So he starts meeting with Kenneth. And then David brings Caleb. And then they start gathering together with David here. And then eventually, you know what? David's just enjoying the flow and the fellow. He's just so excited. You know, and David goes to full-time training. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And look what you have here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a continuation.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. You see? This is what we want. We realize this is what the issue of the overflow of life is, fruit bearing. So we're not here just to thrive. Actually, we're here to have a burden for our friends. To pray with those on our campus, the serving ones, the older ones. And we would be excited that this life would be able to be testified, that some would see something. And you know, and little by little, they would be attracted and they would be brought into what we're doing, brought in into the appointments, into the fellowship, that eventually that we wouldn't just thrive, we would multiply ourselves on the campus. So we need to have this burden. Okay, B. Realizing their critical role on the campuses. You know, I don't know if you know this. This poll was given, and it really kind of impressed me. That they say freshmen, listen up. The first five people you meet, I believe it's during the first week of class, some of those will be lifelong friends. The first five people you meet on the college campus in the first week, some of these will become lifelong friends. Can you imagine that? Right? Well, you just think about that. Your role is critical in no other place. You can't get that in your workforce, constantly changing positions, moving around. You can't get that in the military. You can't get that anywhere where young people, 18 years old, come to a campus and they're just wide open to new things. And they're wide open to the meaning of human life. You have to realize God wants young people to turn the age. And we are at a critical role. We play a critical role. And I would emphasize that by, you know, I can go out on the gospel. I can go, Phil, we can go and contact people. But we're not the best ones to contact students. You know, they may, you know, to have a conversation. But I'm older. I used to not think I was, but I am. And honestly, I don't relate all that well immediately to a young person. It's hard for me to relate because we haven't gone through the same things. But Daniel, you know, he can relate to a young freshman because he was just a young freshman 2 years ago. Right? So there's a lot of experiences, not to mention the fact that you're actually in school. That's a big plus. Right? You have a lot to relate, common ground right there. But a lot of times when they see the older ones, they think, oh, that brother, he's got, like Brother Ken shared, you know, I got nothing to live for anyway, but God's economy. So for me to talk about God's economy, they're like, oh yeah, he serves full time. He's, you know, of course, yeah, that's normal. But for a freshman or a sophomore to share the course of the church, God's economy, the mystery of human life, that is impressive. That caused them to realize a young person my age, enjoying Christ as life, speaking the word, having a constitution, that impresses them much more than a serving one that is supposed to know that already. That, oh yeah, that's right, they've already retired. That they should give themselves for Christ in the church. But for a young brother, a young sister, to be this way, that has an impact. You have to realize that has an impact. But eventually they get into my home, you know, we can talk, and eventually we'll build up a relationship, for sure. I get very comfortable with the ones that come over, and it's very sweet. But initially, you have to realize you're the best ones to contact people. So you need to rise up in your function. Okay, D, being the best ones to bridge other students into the homes of the community saints. You're the best ones. I hope you would realize that. You're the best ones to contact students. Okay, E. You know, a good way to contact students is to go where they are. Don't always expect them to come to you. Right? You should go to where they are. You should go to their dorms. How about have a Bible study in their dorms? Or go visit them in their dorms. Bring them some donuts. Or some, I don't know, Trader Joe's peanut butter filled pretzels or something. You know, just go to where they are. You know, welcome to UCLA. I'd like to give you a little something. Man, I like this dorm. This is small, but yeah, it's nice, you know. I live across the street, and it's a house with a bunch of Christians, a bunch of brothers, and we just, you know, go to where they are, and how about you just meet where they are? That's the best place to contact people, where they're most comfortable. They come to your place, and they're a little, you know, trying to get used to everything and new people. Go to where they are. Anyway, that's just a little point. Okay, being perfected in life, truth, and service. Now, before some students come up to share their testimony, I like this word perfected because it includes perfect, but there's an ED. That means we're not perfect. We're being perfected. That means we're learning. We're learning how to function. You know, we're learning how to exercise. We're learning how to contact people. I'm still being perfected. I get perfected. I want to be open, Lord, to lots of perfecting. None of us have attained, but we're being perfected. So, how about I'll just stop there, and how about we have these brothers from San Diego and San Marcos come up and have some sharing. Amen. This is on being perfected, about realizing others need to be brought into function. And you know what? Honestly, in order for others to be brought into function, some of us need to step back and allow them to be brought into function. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're students from UCSD and San Marcos. San Marcos is a GTCA city with a number of campuses nearby. There's Cal State San Marcos, Palomar Community College, and MiraCosta Community College. And on the right are and that's in North San Diego. And on the right are students from North County. And then on the left are the students from UCSD, which is closer to regular San Diego. Because of the GTCA city, there's no church there yet. So we wanted to have a college meeting. The brothers, right, the leading brothers, want to have a college meeting. And there's never a college meeting there. So the full-timers thought, well, maybe the UCSD students could help out. And I felt, well, I don't know anything about having a college meeting either. I just show up. But that's not true. We all have a portion. And at that time, there was only new ones, and there was two new ones, and I think two church kids. One was a high school senior, and one was a freshman in college. And when we first went there, no one had an idea of what to do. The full-timers led the meeting, full-timers prepared the meeting, and then the full-timers exercised in the meeting. And so when I first went, I didn't have a burden for San Marcos. I wanted to go to a meeting on Friday night, and that was the only one I knew of. So I went, and then I was really encouraged by two brothers who had been going before from UCSD. And from what I remember, they were just like me. We just kind of show up to the meeting. But when I started going, I realized these guys exercise their spirit a lot. They're declaring verses. They're not just going like, you know, oh, praise the Lord, we need to eat Christ. They're going, praise the Lord, we need to eat Christ.
Amen.
And I was like, wow, I want to be like that. And so I really appreciated the word this morning. We need to exercise. So I just followed my brothers, and they fanned me into flame. And I realized if I go to these meetings and I don't exercise my spirit, these new ones will never know how to exercise their spirit. They won't know because they've never heard about it. And so we began. So the full-timers wanted us to take the lead in the meeting. So some of us began to prepare intros to what we're going to cover. So we start covering the thing you get in the Bibles for America, the topical guide. And, you know, like, the Word. What's the Word? The Word is, the Word is God's breath. You know, so we went over things like that. But the key wasn't doing that. It didn't matter what we covered, really. What matters is that we spent time with each other to pray, to fellowship about what we were going to cover. Because we don't need to hit every point in the topical guide. We need to hit the points that we need, that the new ones need. So it started off with like two UCSD brothers who were supposed to be more experienced. But then we started going, our UCSD brother, like me and then Sal, we would call each other and then we pray. And then, first we'd enjoy the Lord. We sang a song or we pray read, then we pray about the meeting, then we, you know, we both did our homework, we read before, and we fellowship. Well, what do you think, Sal? What should we cover? And he's like, well, I think I should do this, whatever. But then, they used to be new ones. Now they're just regular ones. Jake and Sal started to lead the meeting. They did this. And they did it more than just, they spent time with each other more than just, oh, we have a meeting coming up. We better pray and get ready. But they did this throughout the week. And they became companions. And I was very encouraged because no one went to Jake and Sal like, all right, you two, start doing stuff, you know, start functioning, spend time with each other. They just did it. And what happened was there's a new one. And I was so encouraged by this new one. His name is Lawrence. And this guy was, the first time I met him, he was just so happy. And he was like, oh, you're my brother. We're brothers in Christ. I love you guys. And he was so touched by the first meeting. You know what Brother Ken shared earlier about, you know, after reading the Word, I don't want to do anything else, just want to stay at home. This brother's like, after the first meeting, he said, you know what, I'm just going to stay at home. I'm not even going to go out tonight. I'm just so happy. This is what I want. And this was because Jake and Sal took care of Lawrence. No one taught Jake and Sal how to shepherd Lawrence. They just did it. They invited him over for dinner. They took him to go play basketball. And they did this all right before the meeting. So then Lawrence had to come to the meeting. And they took him to the meeting. And then he met some saints. And he got connected with some older ones in North County in their homes. And even a few weeks ago, all the full-timers were out of town. But we still had a college meeting. And we just did, you know, what we... We just knew how to do in our life. We didn't, like, panic. We just followed the Spirit. And it was very enjoyable.
I tend to college in Miracosta. At first, I wasn't introduced to Bible studies. However, a trainee came over and she was outside. In the tables, and she was distributing Bibles, and I just wanted to get a Bible and just leave. However, it led to just being curious to the Word. A brother introduced me to the Word of God in the grace. The grace just touched me deeply. Then it led to campus reading. After that, the sister invited me to home meetings that I met in my local area, which is Oceanside. I didn't know where to meet, so the sister who had a burden for me opened her home, and it's in Salvador's home. And it led little by little. We were filled with the Spirit, and we prayed a lot concerning and opening more for the saints, for those who wanted to know more about the Word. And then after that, it led to, like, the sisters invited me over, like, college night meetings, like, the Friday night meetings. And I had, like, a burden to like, know more about what they're doing, what their interests are, and why they have so much life. Like, I was so questioning, like, why? How come they're so rejoicing and I feel empty? And then so suddenly it led to, like, prayer reading, and I didn't know what prayer reading was. So however, I asked them, like, what is prayer reading? Like, how do, like, how do we pray? Like, show me. Like, and then they started reciting. And after that, everyone participated, and I'll enjoy the organic flow of their participating. Like, it was genuine. Like, it wasn't fake. Like, I wanted that. It's like, it's just flowing, and it's organic, and who can easily, like, you cannot easily fake that, you know? It just flows. And my sisters, they pray a lot, and we got a new one, which is Bethany. And she's also fellowshipping with us, and she wants to be encouraged. However, we pray. We praise the Lord. And I want to thank the Lord for bringing another a new one, and she just fellowshipping with us. So praise the Lord.
Okay, hi. My name's Tiffany. I just entered like this church life in like January, and I know that only by God's grace and mercy that I would ever even cross paths with these people, with the saints from San Diego and Cal State. I go to Cal State also. They have just so much life within them. And when I went to one of the college meetings, I was very apprehensive and I didn't know what to expect. But they were so kind and so nice. And I was just so encouraged, and I told myself without actually telling myself that I want this joy for the Lord. I want my spirit burning too. They all showed such a normal pattern and standard of how a spirit turns to the Lord looks like, and just how because we are young doesn't mean anything. It is us who needs to have the burden for the church and act upon it, and not just look for the older saints to do everything and to speak. Each one has, and they all encouraged that everyone's portion mattered, and it really helped me because a lot of times I wanted to just be quiet, but thank the Lord our spirit's connected to our mouth. They really helped me see and become a normal functioning member in the body of Christ.
I go to Cal State San Marcos too, but I actually didn't. I've only gone once to the college meeting, but the one time I went, they were telling me that the saints from San Diego were coming, and I was like, "Oh, cool!" Like, and I was just encouraged that they drive 45 minutes to an hour in traffic, and I live 10 minutes from there, and I just use that as an excuse not to go. And just that I'm busy. But I'm excited to just start going and just to, like, pursue the Lord and just to grow. And I'm excited that I found someone else at Cal State San Marcos that we could just shine for the Lord.
Hi, I'm from UCSD. And then so last year, Norman, one of the full-timers during the student coordination, he was like, sharing the burden of some of us going to San Marcos for the college meeting. And then a sister, she asked me, she's like, how about we go? And I was like, okay, because I felt like it's like a little retreat we can take every end of the week. I didn't think of it as being there to perfect saints. But, anyways, this time has been very, very enjoyable because there's so much life. As you can see, the issue is all these new ones. This is their first time at the college training, and they're enjoying it so much. Amen. When they go back to the campus, they're going to be shining. Amen. And in addition to all these ones, they're standing here. We're not all going to share, but they're just standing here to show you a small picture of this group in San Marcos, this testimony. Amen. And so I just wanted to share a small experience on my part of the issue of this enjoyment is one of my friends that I met in the beginning of the year. She came with me she wasn't a believer, but her mom just got saved. And she came with me to the San Marcos meeting. And at the end of it, she called on the Lord and she was saved.
Amen.
The following Wednesday, she was baptized.
Amen.
I was so amazed, but I realized that it's something normal. this morning the brother shared Acts 2:43. Day by day the Lord adds. When we enjoy the Lord, when there's so much life, and the Lord sees the church in Philadelphia, He loves it and He adds to you.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus! Amen. Oh Lord, we just want to be perfected. Amen. Oh Lord, just have this burden for us. Amen. Oh Lord, we want to care about our body. Amen. Oh Lord, each one member. Amen. Oh Lord, each one has. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus! Amen. Oh Lord, thank you for this life. Amen. Oh, this life, and just so we can shine. Oh, Lord, just impart more life to us. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. We love you.
Amen. So a few things I just even picked up from their testimonies. Really good. There's a pattern of exercise, amen. Even in the exercise of their spirit, right? Their exercise, declaring, praising, praise the Lord. Amen. That is a perfecting of those that are observing you. They're observing your manner of life. They're observing the way you conduct yourself in the meeting. Amen. You're not quiet, but you're exercised. Amen. You're not timid, but you're bold in the Spirit. Amen. This is a perfecting, just in their pattern. They paid a price to drive 45 minutes to the meeting. That perfects that young one to realize, you know, when I get maybe a little older, maybe there's an opportunity. I've been perfected by a brother who paid a price to drive such a distance. Or this sister. Wow, that's a perfecting. Okay, maybe the meetings it requires a price. I have to give up something. Right? That's a perfecting. Also, I was appreciating their testimony about being perfected in the truth. Now it's up to the students to give the sharing. What do you think that's going to cause them to do? Oh Lord, oh Lord. Right? They're going to dive in. They're going to dig. Get out the riches. Right? This is our experience. When things are put in our hands, we have a burden. Now we're burdened. Oh Lord, what are we going to do? Right? So anyway, I hope we would pick up some of these points. Perfecting other students. That's its F. Perfecting other students. You know, Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. That's why this says in students being involved in the work. Involved in the work of perfecting. So just some practical examples of being involved. You know, how many of you, when this fall semester starts, will be what we call tabling, right? You'll have your table out and you have all your stuff and be contacting people, right? Well, you don't have to raise your hands, but I think we all should be involved as much as our capacity. Well, how many of you have never done it before? You don't have to raise your hand, but you just consider, you older ones that have done it. Sometimes the younger ones come among us and we just say, oh, hey, man, we're gonna take the table. Oh, you know what? I can't be there. Why don't you just do it? But they've never, we think, oh, tabling, what's the big deal? It's no big deal. You sit down and contact people. They've never done it. Something as simple as that. You know what that you need? You need to go alongside them and show them this is what you do. This is how you set it up. This is how you contact a person. You just say, hi, where are you from? First time on the campus? Are you a freshman? What classes are you taking? How do you enjoy the campus? Right? You just, they don't even know the questions to ask. They're just like, hi. And they walk by and then another student goes by. Hi. And it's like, you need to go out with them and say, this is how you contact a student. You say, hi, how you doing? Hey, my name is Charles. Hey, are you a freshman here? How do you enjoy the campus? You know, where are you from? Wisconsin. Wow, Wisconsin. That's it. Are you acclimating okay to California? Right, but if we've never perfected a brother or sisters, are you perfecting those younger ones among you? Or you just expect them to know how to do it? You know, a real practical testimony when I opened my home. I have a gathering in my home on Friday night. And I remember one of the first times some younger brothers, they wanted to help out. And it's always good. If somebody asked, you know, you should go back to your campuses and say, how do I get involved? If nobody's picking on you to be involved, you should say, hey, I want to do something. What can I do? You know, you should apply. You should present yourself, right? Well, this brother, he just presented himself. I want to help out. I want to help. Can I bring something? I said, sure, bring the salad. So he brought the lettuce already in the bag and then the vegetables. I told him what to get. He didn't know what to get. So he got the tomato and the cucumber. And you know what? I was doing something else, and he said, what can I do? I said, why don't you cut the tomato and the cucumber? He didn't know how to cut the tomato. He didn't know what knife to use. He grabbed the biggest one because he thought that was the sharpest and the best to cut a tomato. And he's like mashing it, you know, and it was like, no, the little knife, the paring knife. Get the little vegetable knife. This is the best one. It's so sharp. I had to show him how to cut a cucumber, how to cut a tomato for salad. Right? I mean, it's so easy, we think. But if nobody's taught them how to do it, they don't know. If you, no one's ever taught you how to cook, how are you going to know? Right? Even the littlest thing, you older ones, and I mean sophomores, you're older. You need to show the freshmen, the younger ones, how to function the littlest ways. How to pass out a gospel tract. How to go sign up for the table for the fall. Start now. Right? You need, when you go to do something, practically, you need to reserve something, you need to take care of something, maybe for your club on the campus. Bring a younger one with you. Right away, they see how to do it, so they're not freaking out when they have to do it on themselves, by themselves. But they have a pattern, and they're just with you. Right? So this is how we perfect others. Involve them. So the meaning and practice of perfecting. In life, you know, the brothers touched this about nourishing. We need to be fed. We need to perfect to feed the saints that they may grow. And then in truth, perfecting being to teach and equip the saints according to their level of growth. Amen.
How about you repeat after me? I will survive.
I will survive.
I will thrive.
I will multiply.
Hallelujah. Of course, the last is our burden this morning. We're a little short on time, and I definitely want you all to hear a couple more testimonies. So I'm just going to skip ahead. You can see 2C, we're perfecting in life, in truth, and in service. Just to kind of clarify this point here, and Charles began to touch it, you know, in the Old Testament, there were two varieties of serving ones. There were the Levites and the priests. You know, the Levites were involved with the outer furnishings of the tabernacle, kind of the outward things. The priests, a little more inward, they brought man to God and God to man. Well, in the New Testament, there's only one office, if you will, for service, and that's the New Testament priesthood. But that actually involves both something of the Levites, practical service, and something of a little more inward related to man. But what's interesting is that even in the Old Testament, the priests were over the Levites. So the application for us today is that even in some of these outward services, you know, Charles began to talk about slicing tomatoes and cucumbers, seemingly very insignificant. Offering rides to people. There's a brother I'm thinking of in Los Angeles where I serve, and he can be counted on. He's been perfected. He's had an increase in the growth in life and in grace. And I would say that he functions in the way of offering rides. He functions in the way of preparing meals. He can be counted on. I can't say that about everyone, but he's been perfected, and he's grown into function, but it's in the way of somewhat of a Levitical service. But what governs that, just as the priests were over the Levites, is the care for man. Amen. So I hope that you could even jot a note down by C, that this is perfecting to make the saints useful. I would say you have to tether this mainly to being useful and knowing how to care for people, Amen. How to care for man. Regardless of it's ushering in a meeting, cooking a meal, setting up chairs, you're governed. All these things, they're auxiliary services, but they're to care for man, even to minister Christ to man. And this is real perfecting. D says, perfecting being to make saints buildable. Because we don't have time, I'd like you to write down a word here. Coordination. Okay? Do you know how to coordinate? If you don't know how to coordinate, you're not very buildable, and you're not very perfected. I've really appreciated, though, over the years, on many campuses, I believe you all are entering into this, even though you might not consider it. As you coordinate together, and as you begin to enjoy coordination, there's a difference, you begin to perfect others. The freshmen that will arrive in the fall, they see ones that not only coordinate, but love to coordinate. You know, I served with a brother, and when he and I began to both serve, he could not stand coordination. For one reason, was he thought it was too slow, too inefficient. Why coordinate when I know how to do something? But gradually, as the years progressed, as a team, I believe he began perfected, and now he is a coordinating brother. Don't think that even student coordination is insignificant. There's actually a perfecting going on as you learn how to coordinate. Be open to be perfected how to coordinate, and in turn, you'll be able to perfect others in the matter of coordination. This makes saints buildable. And in E, there's this word I want you to underline. Also, Charles said the ones should not be capitalized. The ones being perfected, underline this word, accompany the ones who do the perfecting. Actually, also jot down Acts 20, if you get the chance. Paul is a pattern in one who, amongst the elders, amongst those in the church there, he just was one that was with them. Day and night, he was with them. And this mirrored Mark 3, where the Lord was with the apostles, was with the disciples. He called them and he was with them. And I'd like to ask Joseph Tang here to testify a little bit. You know, don't feel too limited to fit what you're sharing is into this point, but as he's sharing, I believe we'll pick up that a proper perfecting is just a coming alongside, just an accompanying. And maybe for his help, the guitars could strum at 4 minutes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a junior at USC, and the Lord has really, really blessed us these past couple years in giving us a lot of new ones, and it was really through prayer. But the Lord doesn't want us just to stop there. So I have a verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which you have heard from me through my witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. And so, you know, it was actually a corporate desire of the USC brother, of the brothers, especially in the USC brothers' house and the students in general, you know, to really bring new ones into function. You know, the Lord wants us to go all the way into the Holy of Holies. He doesn't desire that we just bring new ones to the bronze altar. He doesn't desire that we just bring them to the washing of the Word. But He wants an intimate relationship. He wants us to bring them all the way into the Holy of Holies. And so I just want to share an experience that I had preaching the gospel with a new one. And I myself am far from perfect. I don't know how to preach the gospel at all. But I went preaching the gospel several times with serving ones, and they were also training me. And so one day a brother was just like, how about you go preach the gospel with this new one? And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't have the capacity to do this. But the brother was like, just go do it. Go ahead. And then he left. And I was like, in a sense, I was stranded. And so we met up. And I was like, oh, Lord, what do we do? But I would just like to bring out some practical points that really helped me in my preaching the gospel with a new one. First and foremost, we need to start the preaching of the gospel in prayer. We really need to pray to the Lord that He would cover the time. And through prayer, it's prayer that opens the way for the Lord to move. And so we would just pray and pray that we would even have just one good conversation for the Lord to bring us into. And then, actually, even before prayer, it's really good to have some spiritual treasure stored up. You know, we preach the gospel a lot by passing out tracts. But if you don't know what's written on the tracts, how are you supposed to minister life to new ones you're talking to? And so what I did was I would visit this new one in his room, and we would just go over the word. We'd go over the tracts, go over a little enjoyment. And this would really give us something to speak of when we were preaching the gospel. And then what we did was we would just approach new ones, and as we walked toward them, we would just pray. And then I would he was very very shy, and so what I did was I would just approach a new one, you know, in a very human way, and I would open the conversation, you know, how are you doing, or you know, do you how are you doing, and you know, just opening up my conversation. But then I would bring the Lord in, and I would just pass out a tract and be like, this is just something we enjoy. And then I would just tell the new one, Stephen, why don't you share something? And it's one thing for you to speak when you preach the gospel, but if you really want to bring new ones into function, they also have to speak. It's not a matter of you just speaking and the new one just standing there awkwardly watching, but it's really bringing them into function, really bringing out the portion that's in them. And, oh, it's really good to smile. You need to support your new ones. If you're, you know, a lot of times it might be difficult to say amen, amen. But if you just smile and nod, this little encouragement, this small thing makes such a big difference. And they're able to, you know, even dispense more life. And then, so after speaking, you know, we would actually immediately enter right back into prayer. You know, just pray for the new one, pray for the name, call on the name of the Lord for this one. And then lastly, what we would do is we would review. And so we would, after each contact, every appointment is different. You never meet the same person. And so we would just review, oh, what worked? What didn't work? You know, maybe this time we could say this time we could say that. Anyways, praise the Lord that, you know, our final goal is in Colossians 1:8. Let me read it for you. It says something. Amen. Anyways, this is that I would present every man full grown in Christ. Amen. So this is the same thing. We want to present every new one full grown in Christ. Amen. Bring them into the full function of the church life.
Isn't that so helpful? Now, do you think Joseph considered himself an expert? No, he kind of had a lot of self-doubt, but he had a burden. That's all that you need. He came alongside. He led, but actually this is crucial. You're a pattern on the one hand, but you also are able to step back. You're a pattern, you're alongside, and there comes the time you step back and allow the function to come out. Roman numeral 3, this perfecting is not just one-on-one. Actually, the best context is the vital groups. Hopefully you don't instantly just think of a Friday night meeting, but you, your vital companion, this is your context for perfecting. I'd like to ask David and Jordan to come on up. Now, in the second paragraph of the excerpt there, you'll see this line. This may require 2 years of diligent and patient labor. I think the account that these brothers are about to share is not overnight, okay? Keep that in mind.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it was about 3 years ago that I went to my first college training. And it was at that time that I had been recovered back to the church life with another brother named Josh. And it was the first time in my life that I saw that Christ is life, and he wants to give man life. And it was so wonderful. I realized, wow, we have this treasure in us, and I want my friends to experience what I'm experiencing. And it was so wonderful. So me and Josh realized that we were enjoying life, and we wanted our friends to enjoy the same thing. So the Lord brought us to the college training. And at the college training, we found out about the God-ordained way. Amen. We found out that the Lord just loves the twos and threes. Whenever there's a situation of vitality, the Lord just loves to bless it. He loves to add to it. So we just gave ourselves. We're like, Lord, we just want to be companions. We don't really know what we're doing, but we just want to get together and pray. So after the college training, we got together on Wednesdays, and we visited one another, and we just started praying for one another and for our friends. And Jordan was working with me at the time, and we were making mention of some coworkers and some of Josh's friends. Eventually, I had a class with Jordan, and we kept praying for him. And by the Lord's mercy, he came over to my house one night. He had dinner with the family, and my dad prayed for him at the dinner table. And actually, something about Jordan, he grew up as a Buddhist, so he has no background whatsoever. Didn't really know who Jesus was, had no clue about the Bible. In fact, when he saw my parents' Bible, he saw that my parents' name was written on it, and he asked me, Dave, did your parents write the Bible? It was awesome. So he had like no background. I asked him if I could tell that, by the way. Amen. So, so there's no background, but praise the Lord. After dinner, we went to my room. We started watching TV. The Lord told me to turn off the TV. I turned it off. He looked at me. He's like, "What's the Bible all about?" I was just like, "Whoa, amen." So it was just through the prayer, you know. It was nothing that I did or anything. But anyways, he got saved, and I just praise the Lord for the companions. Like, I wouldn't be here with my companion Josh. And by the Lord's mercy, he got us through college, and we both just applied to go to the full-time training together. Amen. So I just praise the Lord for companions. Amen.
Amen. So it wasn't really after, it was about less than a week after I received the Lord, and I got to meet all the brothers. Brother Ken Walker would take me, myself, me, Dave Buchanan, Josh Sherman, and a couple other brothers to, on Thursday night to Chili's every night for dinner. And, I remember just going on the way to Chili's and I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'll meet some other brothers. I didn't really know anything about it. And, I got there and I was like, okay, cool. This is cool. There's people that are my age. But then I saw Ken Walker and I was like, wait, he's not my age. Like, what is going on? But what I really enjoyed was that when we got together, we got to read the Bible together. We read the book of John together. This is the first time I'm ever reading anything in the Bible. I've never held a Bible in my hand at all. And even any verses in my hand. I didn't know anything of the Bible. And when we got into the Word, every brother there was so, their way of taking care of me, they took it slow with me. They really tried to infuse the burden into me. Whether we would stay on 2 hours on one verse, you know, or it would take us 3 weeks to finish one chapter. They really took their time with me. And even each brother made sure that when we read the verse together, they would really draw the Spirit out of the words. And I really enjoyed even, seeing that when we got together, I didn't know how to pray. I had no idea how to pray. But even they taught me how to pray was to echo pray, read them. So what I was, they would say like, oh, praise the Lord for life. And I was just like, amen, praise the Lord for life. And this is how I prayed for the first few months. I didn't know. I realized that they were just perfecting me to learn how to pray. I was so young. I was an infant, but they were just giving me little food here and there. And even what I really enjoyed, really, after leaving Chili's, you know, we would stay there for a few hours I always left full and satisfied with the Word of God. I really got to touch my human spirit. It was with these brothers that they really taught me how to touch my spirit. I didn't know I had a spirit, but after leaving then, I realized that I had a spirit. And even, 2 months after being saved, I went to my first college conference and I got baptized. I didn't know what baptism was. I thought being baptized was being something when you're 13, but I realized that's something else. And I mean, I got baptized, and even after coming back from the college, that's when everything I learned in those 2 months really kind of solidified in my being. I realized that I was like, man, I want to enjoy the Lord a little bit more. You know, instead of just enjoying the Lord once a week with these brothers, I realized I could enjoy the Lord every day. And this is when the Lord gave me a Phil Jacobson. He's in the training now, and he called me one day, and he was like, Jordan, it's like, do you want to be my companion? And my first response to him was like, I don't even know what that is. What does that mean? And then I really enjoyed his answer. He said, well, Jordan, I don't know what it means either, but let's pray to the Lord and find out. Let's pray and let's read the Word together and we can pursue the Lord together. And I was like, okay, that sounds really good. So we made a goal together to read the book of Ephesians together. And it was so sweet. It took us quite a while to finish it, because also with Phil, he perfected me. He told me, he's like, if you don't get something from the whole chapter, just pick one word that you enjoyed or a phrase from the book of Ephesians, and let's chew on that. Let's take the meat from that and like get that into our being. Let's be infused. And I was like, okay, this is good. And even Phil also perfected me on teaching me how to pray as well. And I really enjoyed that, just praying with another brother. You know, even all the brothers that took care of me, they knew my situations. Even if I tried to avoid them a little bit, they knew when something was going on. They could see how I acted, and they really just took care of me. And even after a few months of being with them, I noticed how, like, when all of them together, there was just so much love. And I thought there's too much love at first, in the sense of like, man, Ken Walker, Dave, Josh, and Phil, they always hug each other. What's with all this hugging? At the first, I was kind of like, don't touch me. Like, but even after that, I realized that what they were doing was that they were just expressing the virtues of Christ. In them, I saw love. In them, I saw them as holy brothers. And so even now, I'm transferring to Cal State Long Beach in the fall, and I want to take what I've been shepherded to. I want to shepherd new ones as well. I want to be burning in spirit on my new campus, and I want to perfect the new ones at Cal State Long Beach.
So I'll say hallelujah.
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 I will survive.
I will survive.
I will thrive.
I will multiply.
You all love the Lord?
Amen.
Well, we should love what He loves, and we should also hate what He hates. Just a last little tidbit. He hates the works of the Nicolaitans. He hates that you would graduate. He hates that perhaps David would graduate and have not multiplied because you've just been under some Nikos. You've just been a laity. But he loves it, and I think David loves it. He's so happy that there's a multiplication. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.